You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dental, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's not good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for help, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three, and indeed we come to you at this time every Sunday evening from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the Pacific Coast. And we're really glad to be with you. We're glad to bring you quality guests like Lisa Haven and, of course, who we have up right now with us, Kurt Schilling. And let me just make a little disclaimer here. Folks, I was mainstream, okay, teaching university courses, coaching college basketball, and I had to make this shift. This is not easy. It's something I want to explore with Kurt as we get into this, but the change in your mindset from where your life is working for you and society treats you incredibly well and you're respected by your colleagues and friends, and you have to take a step back and say, this isn't right. And my children have no future if this continues. Kurt, I'm sure some of that entered into your thinking, didn't it?
All of it did. I don't know. You know, like I said, I'm not going to paint this country, you know, to be the greatest thing in the world. When I was a kid, we all had flaws. We actually had Jimmy Carter as a president, for God's sake. I mean, you know, he's the only person, I think, happy with the Obama presidency because now people don't think he is the worst president that ever lived. But it's so scary where this is headed, because I almost want to ask, can you see anything in the horizon changing the course of everything the way it's going? What event in the next 12 months to you will begin to repair the racial divide that's happened over the last couple of years, even more so? Do you see one?
Well, I think the removal of Obama, which will take Soros out of the equation, will help a great deal.
But it'll at least stabilize the event. Do you believe George Soros will be out of the equation once he removes Obama?
He won't have the direct entryway that he has through Clinton and Obama.
No, I'll agree with that. But the you know, we were talking about before about you know the treasonous behavior of the president. In your opinion, I'm not going to say that's not right. I'm not going to say it's wrong. I don't believe he set out with a personal agenda to destroy everything that's made this country great. Based on what I hear and what I read and when I listen to him speak, I believe he thinks he's smarter than everybody else on the planet. And I think that that's an incredibly dangerous thing. If you look at, I believe he's tried to run the White House like an episode of The West Wing, which is pathetic and become a joke, even though that was one of the greatest shows ever on television. Have you ever gotten the impression that he's ever looked at someone and said, wow, thank God for this guy, because without him, we would have never gotten this done? As opposed to, yep, I did that, and I did that, and I did that, and that's not my fault. That's not my fault.
It's all the latter.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. And so when you look at someone who is so disconnected from what a team actually is, he doesn't know what a team is. The guy never played sports in his life. So, and which is a tragic lesson, but also an important one for all you parents. You know, sports is an incredible teaching ground for things like this. He's been taught that he's better than everybody else, smarter than everybody else. And so he believes it. Even when he's sitting in a room going over foreign policy and his generals are telling him X, and he's saying, no, I don't believe that. This is why. That's dangerous, and I think that's where we are. You look at Donald Trump, and I think for everything you can, he can be annoying. I'm sure everybody can be annoying, but I think people need to understand that he knows, listen, I'm going to have an incredible foreign policy, and we're going to have an incredible military bloc, whatever, however he says it, because he knows what he's going to do. He's going to walk in, and he's going to put his joint chiefs are going to be the most military, strategically competent human beings on the planet who want to reassert and reestablish America's, I guess, authority around the world, which amazingly people cringe when you say that, but if it's not us, no one else can do it. That's just a fact of life, so hang with them.
Well, what Trump can do that Obama can't, and you're right about your team analogy in sports, Trump has historically put people into positions that he doesn't know what he's doing, but his people do, and they do a good job of it.
Right.
And that's part of being a good delegator, being a good leader, and Obama does not know how to do that. What he does, he disagrees with his generals, he fires them. He's fired over 300 of them.
Well, you listen to everything he talks. He makes it very clear that whatever has been successful, it's because of him, and whatever's screwed up, it's because of Bush. And I think we're like 7.5 years past that point. But back to your original point. Listen, I come from a world where I believe a parent's, a father's, a mother's children are a direct reflection of that person. And maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm naive, but I have nothing but incredible respect for the Trump kids. Number one, not kids, they're adults, but for how incredibly well-spoken, respectful, intelligent they all are.
Yes.
And that, I think that speaks volumes to who he is. A lot of this is bluster. A lot of it's rhetoric. And I think there's concern, and probably legitimate concern, about, you know, he can't act like this sitting in a room with Vladimir Putin. He can't act like this sitting in a room full of the Saudi, you know, royalty, when he's getting ready to tell them, hey, enough of your BS games. But I think he's actually a lot better than people want to believe or want to think.
Well, I think there's the show and go for the public when he's running for office. I think he's sincere when he called Cruz out on various issues and Rubio. But I agree with you. He's got to be more professional, more direct. But then again, let's look at his background.
Yeah.
He sat down with heads of state before, Kurt.
Yeah.
And he's negotiated deals, so I think I'm comfortable with him in the White House talking to these leaders.
Yep. I'm with you.
I want to get your reaction to one thing, and the man's name has jumped out of my head, but he hired yesterday the head of finance, and we were talking about this in the first hour, a man who worked at Goldman Sachs, very dubious reputation, and then he also was employed by George Soros to be his financial campaign manager, just to run the money. And that concerned a lot of people because of the name Soros attached to the person's background. Any reaction to that?
Unfortunately, I think we're at a very challenging time when it comes to the media, in a sense that I think so much of what we read is I don't know if it's a lie or if it's biased, or if it's just not the truth. Because I think we've come to realize, if nothing else, in the last 12 months, that the media is unreliable. The media is incredibly left-leaning and biased. And the media has an agenda. And none of those things adds up to us being informed, truthfully informed. Now listen, I'm not going to deny Fox leans right. I'm not going to deny there are things that Fox does and says that are annoying to me, like everybody else. But I have no doubt that I'm getting the truth when I watch, you know, Brett Baer interview the four Benghazi survivors and I hear them talk about everything that happened over there. I'm hearing it from the cat's mouth. I don't need anything else. And then you got guys like Wolf Blitzer and all of the frauds at CNN and that again clearly have an enormous and lengthy agenda. So I don't know what to think about that George Soros connection. I at some point you got to pull a lever. The lever you're going to pull in the voting booth is going to be for somebody. I think for me, somebody I trust, and right now I trust him.
You're right. And you said something earlier, I think, that really kind of answered that question, too. You're not going to get a candidate who fits what you want No. You have to look at what's for the overall good of the country, and I think that was very well said.
Well, let me just give you an example of that. So I've been involved, and my wife has been involved with ALS for over 20-some years. Very, very dear cause. Very, very important thing to us. And if you remember, Bush, the second Bush, was against stem cell research, which is a lot of people in the medical world say is the key to unlocking cures for neurological illnesses. Now, I supported President Bush, but I vehemently disagreed with this stance. So I asked him. I literally asked him. I was in the Oval Office on Air Force One, and I was traveling with him, and I said to him, listen, I need to ask you an honest question. ALS has been something we've been working with for years, and there are families out there, and there are patients out there who are going to die if we don't find a cure. Why on earth would you be against stem cell research? And his answer was, you know, listen, by faith, I don't believe it's fair to take a life to save a life. So when someone can prove to me that the stem cell research being done for neurological illnesses is not taking the life of an unborn child, I'm good with it. Now, I can disagree all I want, and I can argue all I want, but the man stood where the man stood. And agree or disagree, I respect that. And that, to me, is the most important thing. I'm not going to agree with everything you do, and no one is. And if they do, they're lying. But at the end of the day, let me know where you stand and what you believe. And is there not a subject that both Sanders and Clinton haven't flip-flopped on multiple times in the last 20 years? Which tells me that they're the people they pander to, whoever they're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Donald Trump panders to many, if any.
Well, speaking of Clinton and Sanders, a trigger for me with them is who supports them, and particularly Bernie Sanders. The millennials who feel entitled,
yep.
The something-for-nothing crowd.
Yep.
Is this the result of our downgraded, dumbed-down education system where we don't think we earn what we achieve?
I think it's a combination of a couple things. I think it's absolutely partly responsible is the education system. I think it's the move away from a one-parent working family to two parents working. And I think it is our failure to raise a generation of people that have respect for elders and work for what they get. That's the only, I mean, and probably for me, the biggest thing is the farther away we've gotten from God, the closer we've gotten to this. And I think when you add all those things up, you have, because listen, you've seen the same videos I've seen on YouTube. Why do you support Bernie Sanders? Because he's awesome and he's not going to make me pay for college. And that, it doesn't that ring true 7.5 years ago? Obama's going to buy me a house. This is a group of people who they honestly believe. And here's the thing, and this is obviously not all-encompassing, because there are a lot of good kids in every generation and a lot of good young men and women, but they believe, at that age, most of them are Democrats because they haven't been out in the real world and they don't know what FICA means. You know, and then my daughter, I'll never forget it. My daughter, 16, her first job, she brought her home her first paycheck, and she goes, Dad, what the hell is this? And I said, those are called taxes. And those are the things that we pay to live in this country to help people that can't help themselves. However, we're now getting to a point where those things that we're paying for are for people who don't want to go out and help themselves. And this country, let's not mix it up here. Liberals and Democrats are reliant upon immigrants and people that need the government because that's the only way they stay in power. It's making sure that people understand you need the government more than it needs you. And when they do that and they enable these people that are, you know, how many times have you seen woman of 12 having more kids to raise the size of her welfare check? 12 kids by 10 dads.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the disincentive? She doesn't have to raise them. They'll get into the system. She gets more money for it.
Amazing. Well, as I hear these issues, Kurt, I can't help but think that you might have an eye to politics in the future. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Yeah, I've always had an eye. I have a feeling that I would probably be in trouble after my first press conference on many levels, because I think in office I would want to probably fire everybody.
Wait a minute. Couldn't you say that about Trump?
Well, yeah, I guess you could. I just think that what we have is so unbelievably broken that you can't start over, but you can change the team. And I think the team needs to be changed. The team needs to be gutted. The roster needs to be completely gutted. We have the amount of government waste is in, I would probably argue, in the trillions. And if we don't fix and find a way to fix those things and get rid of those entitlement programs that nobody needs, get rid of the pork that not, and this is not just liberals, this is Republicans on both sides of the aisle. We have to get rid of all those things, and we have to be common sense about it. And if anything, we've learned there's nothing common sense about Washington, D.C. and the things that they do.
Hence the name of our show. But anyway, not to digress.
Yes.
But, Kurt, what would you look at if you considered what might be an entry point for you into politics? Would it be the White House?
Yeah.
So you go right for the presidency?
I don't know. I don't know. I think to move the needle and to change the world, you start with local politics. The school boards, the planning boards, I think those were things actually really happen. I brought to this town I live in a proposal to bring armed security to our schools, and probably with the cost in and around $1.5 million. And I was told that $1.5 million was going to put in a new football field, which I agree, the high school needs it, but, you know, our priorities, I think, are in a very different place.
Well, you sound like a candidate to me. not that you're running, but I'm telling you, Kurt, that I think there's a way to take this ESPN debacle, and that's the only word I have to describe it, and turn this these lemons into lemonade. I mean,
yeah.
I think...
Well, listen, I think that, you know, I have no doubt. I've stopped trying to guess God's plan. He's got a plan, and I'm just kind of following things as they go, and this will end up being a blessing somehow, some way. And I'll look back on it and realize this is probably, you know, hopefully I have a lot of years left, but I think this time period is a tremendous turning point, and I'm going to try and make as much as I can out of it and help as many people as I can out of it.
Kurt, I want to talk about something personal, too, because from my interest, I mean, I do love sports. I grew up playing sports. I coach sports. And where do you sit right now with regard to you getting into the Hall of Fame? Because you're deserving.
I say this, and I it's hard to let you see my face when I say it, but I don't care. And I say this for this reason. I have not won a game in 7 years. Haven't struck anybody out. I'm not going to win a game in the next year, yet my vote total changes every year. I can't. If it happens, awesome. I don't want to diminish what it means, because I think the guys that are in there deserve it, and it's awesome, and I'm very proud. And if it happens, that would be great. But if I don't get elected, I get to keep my rings. If I don't get elected, I'm not going to lose my memories. If I don't get elected, I think the teammates that I played with would still want me to have the ball in a game that was life or death. So the things that matter to me, the things that were of priority from a reputation, a legacy, if that's the right word, are still there. I think for me, when I look at it, the Hall of Fame is a recognition of the amazing people you've had in your life, because nobody does this by themselves. And when you get to the Hall of Fame, the amount of people you have to be coached by, raised by, married to, all those things, it has to be one after another, a group of amazing people. And I think that more than anything, is what the Hall of Fame is a recognition of.
Well, from my perfectly biased point of view, from where I sat as a Diamondbacks fan, and my wife used to run McDonald's here in Arizona, so we had the corporate tickets. We saw a lot of games. And this is before things got into crisis mode for us. But I watched you, and I watched Randy, Luis Gonzalez. You guys were the epitome of professionals. You guys, and then you go to Boston and you repeat the same thing under very adverse conditions.
Yeah, that was fun.
You are deserving. I'm telling you right now.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
But
my son asked me about that. My youngest son asked me about it a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you know, I'm not going to allow a process I have no input or say in to affect my happiness. If it happens, awesome. Yeah. If it doesn't happen, then what does it mean? It means a bunch of writers didn't believe I was good enough. As long as it's not my teammates, I can live with that.
No, as long as it's not your politics, as long as it's not your personal opinion you're entitled to, that's what bothers me.
But no, but listen, last year I said something to the effect that John Smoltz and you know, politics, and the thing that everybody missed, first off, it was incredibly sarcastic. John Smoltz is a bigger conservative than I am. I've always known that. Everybody's always known that. I was making a joke, you know, because they were talking about Smoltz and I having similar numbers and him getting in and me and blah, blah. And I said, well, maybe it's because he's a Democrat and I'm a Republican. And it was a joke. But that turned into people, you know, to this day have written articles about, hey, he doesn't think he got in because he's a Republican. Come on. You know, I know writers. They are that petty. I know they've not voted for people for far worse stuff, but... You know, that's not why I didn't get in. I didn't get in because 75% of the writers didn't believe I was a Hall of Fame player. All right, I'll sleep okay.
Well, become a Hall of Fame politician, because it kind of happened to us. I mean, it was 13 years ago, Kurt, that a bunch of politicians and their banker friends tried to steal the properties that I live on and my neighbors live on, and we went in an 8-year battle. That's how I got into this. I never trained to be a journalist. I never trained to write, have a website, do a radio show. But I did it out of necessity. It grew out of that movement where I was fighting for my financial life.
Yep.
And I'm hoping this is what happens for you with regard to this ESPN debacle.
Yeah, well, isn't it amazing how when you look back on the worst part of your life or some of the things that have happened in your life and you realize how they turned, you know, that lemon into lemonade? And I say that because I look back at, I lost my father when I was 21, and it was a sudden thing, and it was probably one of the hardest things that ever happened in my life. But I look back now, and yeah, I wish he would have met my kids. I wish he would have seen me pitch in the big leagues. But for, you know, gosh, almost 20 years, almost 30 years, I haven't had to have my father be in the room to talk to him. I've learned more from my dad since the day he died to today than I did when he was alive. Part of it was because I was an obstinate, idiot teenager, but there are things that are blessings, and sometimes they look like tragedies at first glance. And yes, I'd love him to be here, but he's had as much, if not more, of an impact on my life as he ever would have had being alive.
Yeah, I lost my dad early, too, and they become the conscience in your ear.
Yeah, well, I've had so many conversations with my dad at the right time.
Yeah. Those of you lost a parent like that at such an early age can certainly identify with what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, Kurt, I hope it's sooner rather than later when you decide to get into the mode of serving.
Thank you.
You're serving right now. You are serving the people by what you're doing in this very moment. But I'm talking about standing alongside people like Donald Trump and saying, we're not going to take it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to be prepared for what's about to happen, because I don't know what it's going to be, but I don't feel like it's going to be ho-hum. I think it's going to be big in a way that maybe isn't all that good. But if we can find a way to stay standing up through all this, then we will come out the other side.
I wrote an article when Trump won in Indiana, and I said, well, congratulations to all of us who've supported him. Now the real trouble is beginning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but although these debates are going to be some of the most... They're going to just destroy ratings. Because when he gets on a stage with her, he is going to... Oh, my goodness.
You could do pay-per-view.
Oh, my God. Well, this will draw... Yeah, this will be like last episode of MASH kind of ratings. Super Bowl ratings, if not bigger. So, you know what? I'm very happy with more people, I think, are engaged in the political process now than they've ever been in my life. It sucks that this all had to happen, but that's a tremendous benefit now, is that more people are engaged, and that's a good thing.
Well, in parting here, Kurt, I want to say that ESPN's terrible decision and their loss is our gain.
Well, thank you.
And,
I know you're going to
turn this into lemonade. And I want to thank you so much for coming on the Common Sense Show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, please feel free to know that this is an open invitation anytime you want to come back.
Will do. Thank you again.
Thank you, Kurt.
All right, bye-bye.
Kurt Schilling, ladies and gentlemen. And someone who I've known about since he was probably around 15 or 16 years of age, and he was kind of a little pitching phenom and made a great career for himself, and now he's going to be, I think, serving in a capacity that he could not even comprehend. Katie?
I am here. How are you?
Pretty,
wow.
Pretty amazing stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was great. I think he's gonna do a wonderful job once he gets his foot anchored in his own show, and he has no loss of words, no loss of opinions, and it's fascinating to listen to him. So, yeah, I wish him the best, and I hope he comes back on.
Oh, he will. He will. I know where he's at.
Yeah.
We shall make
good.
Him. But he will come back on, and it's not the last we're going to hear from him, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
The longer that we went on with this interview, the more I heard, you know, candidate Kurt.
Right.
Instead of deposed Kurt from ESPN. And I got to tell you, you know, I'm consciously turning ESPN off now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do it a lot. And it's not that I dislike the broadcasters. I've met some of them. I know some of them. I'm not going to mention them by name because God help them if anyone knows they're affiliated with me in any past relationship. But I know a couple of them pretty well. One of them I know really well. And they're good guys. And they don't feel any different about these fundamental issues. They raise their kids in Christian homes. God knows what they got to do to keep their mouth shut to keep their job over there. But this is happening increasingly across the country where, you know, Kurt says he's not having his First Amendment victimized and it's the repercussions. Technically, he's correct. But I do think it should be illegal to retaliate against people for their First Amendment beliefs, particularly when they're not of a nature that's espousing violence or discrimination.
Right.
And he wasn't espousing for violence or discrimination. He made that infinitely clear throughout our conversation. And it's amazing to me, though, Katie. See, I have the perspective of knowing about Kurt, knowing things about Kurt, knowing coaches around Kurt. The basketball coach at his high school he went to was a good friend of mine. Knowing so much and then following with the Diamondbacks and then looking where he's at now. He's just a mature man who's fulfilling his destiny. And
he's now free. He's been freed to express much of what he sees happening in the world now. He couldn't do that. So, and there's a lot of people who that's happening to that are being freed.
Yeah.
And you're right, it's making lemonade out of lemons, and everything that brought Kurt to this place had a purpose, and now his true beginning begins. So, that's my take on that. It was great, it was a great interview. I liked hearing...
Well, you can hear he has clear lines of demarcation in his beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't hear any waffling, did you?
No, and I didn't expect that from him. But like I said, now he's free to really shoot the moon.
Exactly.
So, mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
Katie,
that's great. Yes,
we are officially approaching tick, tick, tick.
Yeah.
The
it's health
report.
Chick time. Yeah, the health chick is
health
here,
chick
and
time.
She's.
Well, you're the best health chick I know.
I wonder if that the man still listens who wrote you an email who called me the health chick because he's now gone. He's famous now, so it's all good. I don't mind it. I have no problem being called the health chick because that's exactly what I do.
And so, if you did, you would tell me.
I would. Oh,
I know that.
Believe me, yes, yes.
I mean,
so
you get on my case about microwave popcorn.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, we're trying to work with you and help you get over all this flu stuff, and
mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's happening across the country. So,
it
and
is.
That's what I'm gonna cover some of it. I've got a bunch of articles I'm really toying with. I want to get information out there because when you brought up that you have had the flu off and on for 3 months, and now your son has it and your wife has it, and I know people who have been exhausted. They feel like they have pneumonia, and their energy level is zero, and it just goes on, and they have good days and bad days. It is, I truly believe, it is what we're eating. It's the air, the water, it's everything, and it's artificial. And so immune systems are the things that I want to talk about. We've got to start boosting our immune system and really think about what we're putting in our mouths, what we're eating, what we're drinking. We've had so many guests on this show, and I've talked about this ad nauseum, about genetically modified foods and how they damage your system, how they damage your immune system. And the water, the fluoride we've had, and the chemical spraying. We have to stay healthy. We've got to start thinking about, not thinking about, actually doing. It's time to do. And I know a lot of the listeners who write me and call me have listened to the show, taken the advice, and they're up to speed on things. There are new listeners coming to the show who are waking up. This is so important, folks, because we are being inundated with toxins like never, never before. And we can combat it. But if the powers that be have a population that is so sick and so lethargic and so infected and spending half their time in bed and not motivated to go out there and fight the good fight, that's exactly what they want. We have to combat this back. So it's personal responsibility, personal accountability. And so I want everyone to really focus on organic foods. Or please, organic foods. And I am seeing, I will tell you, Dave, I'm seeing and reading about the demand for organic foods. People are waking up. And it's a terrific thing to see. One of the articles that I was just going to go over tonight was about that. It said, this is from naturalnews.com. It says, U.S. giant Danone announces plans to remove all dairy supplies and farmers who don't comply with GMO-free standards. This is huge. This is really big. It's from naturalnews.com, and it goes on to say, some Goliaths must fall like Monsanto for all the suffering they cause, but other giants can be transformed from the inside out through a change of heart. That's what's happening to top U.S. yogurt producer Danone. The entire company is having a positive change of heart. A company this size has tremendous influence over the dairy industry, and their product standards strongly influence dairy farmers. And whether or not cows are fed GMOs and antibiotics, if enough giants like Danone start siding with consumers and planetary health, then the evil ones poisoning our future, like Monsanto, will slowly fade away into the dark vestiges of history. So this is a very big deal. Hopefully they'll start using sugar or stevia instead of high fructose corn syrup. But if they're looking at revamping and acquiescing to popular demand, then things are going to start to change. We're already seeing that changing. And it says they have, what does it say? Danone President Mariano Lozano said, our ambition is to produce healthy food that is affordable, creates economic and social value, and nurtures natural ecosystems throughout sustainable agriculture. Although our journey is independent from that of our organic sister companies, we have learned a lot from and are inspired by Stonyfield and Happy Family. Well, they're watching people buy up Stonyfield, and they're seeing that their commercial yogurts aren't doing so well. That this is, I call it people power. So keep at it. Wakening up the public to the dangers of genetically modified foods. Ladies and gentlemen, every single person listening, no one should be eating conventional foods. No one. Everyone should be eating organic foods. And I mentioned this a few weeks ago on the show, how they've changed the language. Now, conventional means normal or common. So you would think if you go into the store that you would go to the fruit section and you'd buy apples and they're conventionally grown, that would be normal and common. Well, no, it's twisted, because now I have to hunt for organic apples which don't have any ingredients that I don't want, or sprayed with chemicals or genetically modified seeds. They were grown from genetically modified seeds. So what I should actually be walking in the store buying is conventional food. Am I making sense here? They've taken the language of conventional, and with conventional, that means they can inject it with things, put additives in it, put chemicals in it, spray it with Roundup, genetically modify the seeds. That's conventional? No, that's not common, but it is, unfortunately. So now we have to hunt for organic. But let's turn that around with our pocketbooks, right? So everyone should be buying.
Well, it's a good approach. I mean, I like how you're trying to make it consumer-driven, because that'll carry more power than protests and doing shows about it, because the power of the purse. But let's talk about, if you were to send me out there, what you do right now, Katie, is you basically communicate to me through my wife, because you think I'm less stubborn to her. And well, come on, that's true. And so you communicate with my wife, and you tell her what to do. But if my wife and I sat down and says, okay, we want to get away from conventional and go to organic, we would be lost on how to do that process without someone informing us. What can the average person do to educate themselves on the differences and how to obtain the better of the two?
Well, first of all, so, you know, a lot of people live in small towns and they can't get to the health food stores. You know, we have a lot of health food stores in the metro areas. But start growing your own. Get non-hybrid seeds and genetically modified free seeds.
Where?
You can get them online. You can get them online from my food company, Thrive. You can get them online. You just type in your search engine. Non-hybrid seeds. And
stop.
You
give yourself a commercial right now.
Oh.
I'm a listener, and I want to know where I can get these seeds and start to grow my own, because I don't trust the grocery stores, because they're as ignorant as I am. So what can I do? Advertise for me right now and from your site.
Well, from my site, go to Family Essential Shop, and you can click on the Thrive button or any of the logos, pictures, links, and we have seeds. We have non-hybrid seeds, melon seeds, vegetable seeds, sprouting kits. You can go online and get those, stock up, and grow your own outside or inside. Sprouting kits are incredibly nutritional. I mean, we have all kinds of different sprouts, broccoli sprouts, bean sprouts. They're high nutritional foods, a food source, and they grow in just a matter of days. So right now I'm on a wheatgrass kit. I went to a place called Handy Pantry and bought some wheatgrass grow trays and seeds and all the, and the grinders and everything, and I'm doing wheatgrass, and it's chock full. I call it a nutrient bomb, and it gives you a full day's supply, sometimes up to 400-500% of a lot of the nutrients, and really high in protein, just a couple ounces of this juice. So start growing your own foods. But if you go into a grocery store, a lot of the commercial chains now, in our area we have King Supers and Safeway, I don't know what they have across the country, but they have full organic sections where you can get organic produce, organic fruits, organic vegetables, get grass-fed meats if you're a big meat eater, which I would recommend that you pull that back a little bit, because meats are very acidic. I teach people that meat should be more of a condiment on your plate rather than a main course, because we can get good, healthy proteins from so many other sources, like quinoa or even the wheatgrass. I think wheatgrass, 2 ounces is 15 grams of protein. 2 ounces of wheatgrass? Really? I mean, it's amazing. So you look for the organic aisles for organic foods. Try and stay away from processed foods. And if you must eat processed foods, make sure they're fully organic, that everything. And I'll tell you this. Here's how they're tricking us with the labeling system. You have conventional foods, which you have no idea how it's processed, how it's grown. You have a pretty good idea. But sometimes when I walk into the health food store, I'll just ask some of the produce guys, so this conventional food, do you know if it's GMO-free? No, we don't. We don't know. But we do know if it's organic, If it is labeled organic, that means USDA organic, that means that the seeds are not genetically modified. The soil is in such a state they have to use certain growing methods, no pesticides, no Monsanto. And so you can, you know, we had Dane Wigington on a few months ago, and he said, really, with what they're spraying in the air, there's really no way to get fully clean food. But I will tell you, organic is your best bet for good health. So go down the organic aisle. Buy organic. If you're going to do dairy, which I do not recommend a whole lot of dairy, but if you're going to do dairy, do organic dairy, organic everything. Because these pesticides are killing our immune systems. The genetically modified seeds that they're growing these fruits and vegetables, and even the feed that they're giving the chickens and the cows, if it's GMO food, GMO feed, lot feed, you're getting genetically modified organisms in your in the food chain. So even with eggs, could your eggs be, they may say, cage-free, but that doesn't mean that the feed they're giving them, chickens will eat pretty much anything. Are they giving them genetically modified corn or soy or anything like that? Go for organically raised, field. The chickens, the eggs I just bought, they're not just cage-free. I mean, they're out in the pasture, and they're highly regulated what they feed the chickens. Just watch what you put in your body, because they know that we are so conditioned to not paying attention to food. There are so many other issues going on in our lives. We just walk in and assume trustingly that the food in our food chain, our food supply, is healthy. But it's not. You have to be savvy shoppers. So you have organic. Then you have something called the GMO Project. Now, I used to buy GMO Project products, but I don't do that anymore unless there's absolutely nothing there and I eat it sparingly. What GMO Project means is, number one, there's no oversight. I did an article on the show a while back. There's no oversight. The only oversight for the GMO Project is the companies that put out the food simply send in paperwork. It's all in their paperwork saying, yes, these were GMO-free seeds. No one's really checking. No one is. We have to take the company's word for it.
Well, wouldn't you expect Monsanto to intervene in that and basically do corporate espionage and change the contents and infiltrate pool?
That's what I'm saying. We don't know. We have to assume and we trust that if it says GMO Project on it, that it is a genetically modified free organism or food. But we don't know that. What we do know, though, is if it says GMO Project and not organic, then that means that, say, it's crackers, wheat crackers. That means that the wheat is probably, most likely, I can't say this for sure, but because it's not certified organic, it may be genetically modified free, but it doesn't mean that the crop wasn't sprayed with glyphosate, because they spray the wheat crops in order to dry them quicker, to get more product out, more wheat produced, more, crop yield. So you may be eating something that's genetically modified free, but it may be laden with Monsanto glyphosate. So then you have natural, all natural. Well, what does natural mean? Natural is, as far as I'm concerned, it's as good as conventional. It's simply a marketing tool to get people to think all natural. Because 20 years ago, everything came out all natural. Then the consumers demanded more information and more information. I don't eat anything that says all natural. That is as dubious as conventional. So my push is go organic as much as you can. Does that help?
Well, I think that helps a lot, but it's still a confusing issue because, let me tell you, and I think by analogy you'll see what I mean. I was reading yesterday where Monsanto is attempting to completely overtake the Amazon rainforest. Have you heard that?
No. Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, yeah. And they're doing it by hook and crook, and they're throwing their money at all the politicians, and of course they're saying, well, we're producing the world's best foods here. And this is their way also too of grabbing the medicine market. That wasn't even mentioned in the article, but that's where our medicines come from. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. And so lengthy answer to your question, Katie, is I'm still not confident that I know how to get purely organic food in the face of the Monsanto monstrosity.
Well, we can't. And I think anybody else would tell you that. But what we have to do is do the best we can in terms of, there's a huge difference between, like I said, conventional organic. Go with organic as much as we can. The more demand there is for organic foods, I think the more critique there's going to be. I mean, you've got Mike Adams and his food forensics lab. He's out there, he is out there at the tip of the spear. He has a laboratory where they test food items randomly, from pet food snacks to, I have an article here about vitamin C, and part of his forensic lab found that the vitamin C tablets that you're going to find, supplements that you find in your, even your health food stores, the huge majority of them are GMO. It comes from corn. It comes from ascorbic acid. And it's, they're genetically modified sources. Oh, and they come from China. So here's, he says, here's another whopper that's sure to open some eyes. Nearly all the vitamin C sold in vitamin stores across America right now is derived from GMO corn. Whoa. That was alarming. This means that many of the supplements sold at Whole Foods, the vitamins sold on Amazon.com, the pills at your local pharmacy, and especially the products at the grocery store are nearly all routinely made with genetically modified C. It's typically called ascorbic acid, and nearly 100% of the ascorbic acid used in natural products industry is derived from GMOs. And these are coming from China and things like that. So we have to be so much more savvy. And it's people like Mike in the Food Forensic Lab. Go to naturalnews.com and really keep abreast of this information that he's putting out as this lab is doing more and more testing on our foods. And it's this kind of advocacy that Mike is doing that's putting the pressure on these companies and letting them know, look, there's people out there that are, you know, they'll pull a sample. They're going to call these companies and question them on certain practices they have or certain claims that they have. So this is why what Mike's doing is so powerful and what we're doing with our pocketbook is so powerful. But Dave, getting back to what you're saying, really all we can do at this point is buy organic or buy local. You know, you have your farmers markets in the spring and in the summertime and in the fall. Talk to your local farmers market. Ask them what their farming practices are. And give them your money. Don't give it to Nabisco and Nestle and everybody else who's poisoning us to death. So there are options. I've just given three. Grow your own farmers markets and just shop your health food stores and buy organic. So that's my take on that. Any other questions?
Well, my biggest question... Well, let me ask you this. Did you know that Monsanto has its own private army?
You mean like an armed police force?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Which is not unusual for a lot of large corporations today.
And what do they do with this?
They act outside government authority, and they carry out their own policy unilaterally.
So where, I'd love to read about that. How does this play out? What does Monsanto do with this army?
You know, it's not Monsanto, too. It's all your defense contractors, a lot of your financial houses. Goldman Sachs has theirs. And a lot of them subcontract into known ones like academia, which used to be Blackwater, a couple times removed. Here's my point. I'm going to come to a point here with Trump. I've not heard Trump one time speak about the evils of GMO. Have you?
No, I haven't. He's probably got enough on his plate.
Yeah. No, I don't buy that. Because when you are talking about something that affects the health of 315 million people in this country, I don't think there's anything bigger on the plate, pun intended. I think this is something that Trump should have dealt with, and it's something that we need to make him deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, just because I've supported a lot of the things he stands for, it doesn't mean I'm giving the man a free pass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hold him to the same level of scrutiny that I've held every one of these other scoundrels that have run for office. And I want what Trump knows. Will these espionage groups, they have their own intelligence groups, corporate spying is huge. Will their armies enter into play? I don't know. But I want to know what's going to be done about it, because it needs to be stopped. I mean, when you look at the rates of obesity and the cancer explosion and the diabetes explosions, it's environmental. This isn't anything we're doing to ourselves. Americans are still Americans. This is environmental. It's being done to us.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, Katie, is can we do what they call multifactorial analysis, which is where you correlate the strength of relationships between many variables and one central variable. In other words, our health is a central variable. GMOs, chemtrails, fluoride in the water, all of these
vaccines.
I've never seen a study, and to me it's not hard to do. I would know how to set this up if I had access to the government databanks with the statistics, assuming you could get the truth. But you could do a multifactorial analysis, and some people call it a multivariate analysis, in which you would do relative strengths of the negative influences on our health. And then we could start attacking those one at a time. But that would clearly go against the globalist agenda.
Well, I would think that that should be a main service of HHS. But HHS is a very political arm, a militarized arm. But it gets back to what was the initial intent of the FDA when it was set up? It was to oversee it's the Food and Drug Administration, and to oversee the food supply and the drug supply in terms of keeping the population safe. Now it's just become a giant revolving lobbying door, a big money maker. So in terms of all the agencies, either dissolve them or gut them. It's completely out of control. They're not doing what they were designed to do. And now it's the people who, like Mike Adams in the forensic food lab, that are having to do the work of the government's job that we pay our taxes to oversee. So that's where we're going. And really, it's come to that now, that the Leviathan is so big and so out of control that we have to oversee our own, and Kurt brought this up, bring it local. We can't turn this ship of state around. It's so corrupt. But what we can do is support people like what Mike's doing and what Ty Bollinger are doing and John Rappaport are doing. They're out educating and really stepping into the lion's mouth and educating people on the truth about our food supply and vaccines and everything else we have going on.
Well, here's some truth
here.
Let me throw this in, Katie. This is from one of our listeners. From an MD, Dr. Glover. She says, listening to the health check, please mention that organic yogurt contains pectin, P-E-C-T-I-N. At least Stonyfield does. Mm-hmm. Pectin is not listed as organic. Pectin is produced from apple skins left over from producing applesauce. Since it is not organic, it is from non-organic apples from which have been sprayed with petroleum-based pesticides that do not wash off. Thus, we are consuming pesticides, even from organic yogurt. Please read the ingredients, Dr. Glover.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Good. That's what I've been saying. I was getting to that, and that is fabulous. Two things. If it's labeled organic, it should be organic. But we need to be much more savvy and start reading labels and understanding and researching and looking into what we put in our mouth instead of just mindlessly putting it into our mouth. That's a great point. But bringing it local, bringing it to the family, bringing it individually. Yeah, well, we can go to Washington and we can whine about the FDA and Monsanto and Big Pharma all we want, but it's we, the people, what I do individually, what we do for our families, how we feed our families, what we spend our money on, what we insist when we go into a restaurant and say, do you have an organic selection? No, we don't. Well, then talk to the manager. If enough people do that, I have a friend who works management at McDonald's. Did you know that McDonald's is transforming to an organic line?
I'll believe it
what? When I see it.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, what they said was it takes a long time to do this, but they have the groundwork and they're working on it. Why? Whether they succeed or not, the fact that the upper management at McDonald's is making this gigantic change or even considering it or working out the details is huge. Why? Because of the people, because of the public. It's us. It starts with us, Dave. So I've learned that over the last 6 months. I thought I was pretty darn healthy until I was hit with my cancer challenge. And boy, have I learned a lot in the last 5 months. And when I do go out to eat in a restaurant, I won't eat. I'm freaked out about it. And I got to get past that stage because once my body's healthy enough, I could probably handle a little bit. But I'm very, very meticulous now about what I eat and drink. So I hope this helps people. Dave, I know. The audience, I sure give Dave a hard time, but he's slowly coming around, very slowly. So write him letters and tell him to listen to the health check, please.
Uh-oh. I listen. I'm not giving a choice.
Well, if you hear it, what?
Katie, I said something earlier in the broadcast that you've really borne out here in the health check segment, as we might call it tonight. And it's this. We are under attack in every phase of our life. We can't even trust that organic is organic, and we've got to go the extra mile to do the research to determine that. I mean, this is such a pervasive, all-encompassing war we're up against. And I want to encourage people this Friday, when the movie debuts, Armageddon, go see it. If nothing else, you're showing support for your country based on constitutional Christian principles. Go see it. Tell people to see it. Go to scene.life. Associate and affiliate and commiserate with people like yourself.
Yes.
Because we are under attack in so many different ways. You can't even talk about the fact that potential pedophiles who are men, XY, I don't care what you do with your penis, if you cut it off, wrap it up, mail it to Saudi Arabia, you are still a male. You're an XY. You don't belong in women's restrooms looking at little girls. This is now to the point where we need to stand up. Anyway, good thing the music is sounding. We're out of time, Katie. You were terrific. Thanks to our guest, Kurt Schilling, and Lisa Haven. We'll be back next week with another great show. We'll see you then. Go out and have a great week. God bless.